In today's episode, Courtney and I have the pleasure of sitting down and talking with Yuliana Chung, agency owner and author of Culture of Agency. This episode is all about business ownership, going from one agency to two agencies, the struggles that Yuli has experienced, how she's overcome those, how she's scaling her business and prepping to open a third location. So with that being said, let's start the show. This is the Insurance Buzz, and we are your hosts, Michael and Courtney Weaver. We coach insurance professionals, business owners, and people just like you every day on how to live a life and have a business you are excited about.
Here on the Insurance Buzz, we share the wins, the losses, and everything in between that comes with being married business partners, training in the insurance space, and growing our business side by side. We also connect with other business owners and leaders making their mark in the world and hopefully inspire you to make yours.
Your supervisor is constantly telling you that they need more life insurance out of you. They need more apps. They need more premium, but you don't know how. I know I heard this from my supervisor all the time, and I was like, that'd be great, but I don't know how to produce more life insurance. They never trained me. This is exactly why we created the six-figure life insurance producer course just for you. So if you want to know exactly how to bring life insurance up on those new business P&C sales conversations, when you're servicing a current customer, when you're having an appointment with a customer, whether it's in person or virtually, this is exactly why we created this course. You'll learn from the playbooks, the video training, the word tracks, the scripts. So you'll know exactly how to not only bring it up, but the questions to ask to get them interested in having a conversation with you, how to educate them on the policies you have for their plan and how to ask for the sell a minimum of 3 times in any life insurance conversation. So the best part is it's a one-time investment. You own everything I just shared with you and more forever. So if you're interested, make sure you click the link below, quit struggling, and learn exactly what it takes to be a six-figure life insurance producer. Hey, welcome to the Insurance Buzz. We are your hosts, Michael and Courtney Weaver, and we have a very special guest with us today, Yuliana Chung. Yuli,
hello.
How are you?
Good morning.
And I just want to say, welcome back to the Buzz. We have had very few people come on as second guest, and you crushed it the very first time I talked to you. You're one of my favorites, and so we're so honored to have you on for a second time.
Oh, thank you.
We're pumped. We're going to talk about running not one, but two agencies and how you are setting up your day and how you are setting up your team to have success in that. So let's jump right in. How long have you had the second agency?
A little over 2 years. I think when I was on with you guys the first time, it was just opening up.
Let's get into the deets. How has the transition been going from one agency, one location to now two?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, like I thought, you know, I had one agency figured out. Like I thought I got this agency thing down. I mean, it only took me like 18 years, but I think I'm good, right? I even wrote a book about it, but just opening that second agency, I mean, you don't know what you don't know until you're in that situation, right? And so it definitely is a different animal to have two agencies versus one. I think it's been a little bit of a struggle that first year. Second year, I think we kind of nailed it down a little bit and had some success, and we're still trying to fine tune things.
I would love to know, Yuli, like when you think back 12 months ago or 24 months ago when you opened it, over that first year, you said that there was a little bit of a struggle. What was one thing that you struggled with that maybe you didn't anticipate that was more difficult by just owning the two agencies?
Well, I think when you have one agency and, you know, a certain number of team members, at the time I had like 6 or 7, right? You can give more of your time to 6 and 7. Employees, right? You can give more of your time. And so you can actually foster that culture that I talked about, right? That you can make that culture what you want it to be, improve it. When you now have 10 or 12, it's different. Like you're only one person, right? And so you actually have to have almost like a management layer. And if they're not doing that same thing that you are, if they're not you, right? Then again, tweaking that and finding out how can you extend your culture past just what you bring to it.
So talk a little bit about the management layer. How quickly did you implement that in your business? Was that your first year of your second office?
I always had an office manager. And so when I first opened my second office, I wanted more of what I call a COO, right? Somebody to kind of manage that and then have like senior managers in each agency. But it's also kind of hard. I mean, I don't know, like when we were all new agents, like learning to step into that role and lead people and have that, you know, they're going through their growth also, right? And trying to figure out what that looks like and what leadership is for them.
Separate for me what you saw the major differences were between an office manager and a COO. Mm.
So actually, that's what we're kind of tweaking. So I think the bigger I get, and when I say bigger, it's also agency size, right? The bigger I get, and then yeah. I'm, you know, putting this out into the universe that, you know, my third office will just come to me like within the next month, right? But, you know, the bigger you get, I think you... So our org chart is going to be a little different. So not only do I have US-based employees, but I also have international employees. I have employees in the Philippines. And so what I'm looking for how to separate that is, so I believe in, you know, traction. I don't know if people have read that before, traction and scaling up. So I definitely feel like I'm the visionary and I need more of an integrator. And that's kind of that COO position. And then that's the integrator. And then I want more of a sales manager, a service manager. And so those are all US based, right? The sales leaders will have their sales team. The service leader will have their service team. And then I have international employees that are going to be my HR, full-time HR, full-time marketing. I have a part-time bookkeeper. CPA. I mean, she's a licensed CPA in the Philippines. So that's kind of the roles that I'm kind of separating into.
So it sounds like you've went through a lot of business owner growth. Am I hearing this correctly? Like going from one to two, it's forcing you to get a little uncomfortable to delegate even more. But also it sounds like that now instead of managing like the seven people maybe you had at the first location, now you're up to 12 or 13. You're going to prioritize your time to these are my one, two, or three people that I'm talking to the most, and they will be running the operations. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, definitely. I'm getting to a certain age. You know, that milestone birthday is coming up. I'm going to turn 30, right?
I was like, what? I know. I'm like, what's your milestone? What age do we need to be looking out for?
I'm not going to say the real number.
Yeah, don't. No, we're all going to stick with 30 forever.
Yes. So I have 3 years before that milestone birthday. And so I'm trying to scale as much as I can and then delegate because I do have other things. So part of the other international employees that I have is I have a personal assistant. And then I also have another international employee that manages my real estate for me. So kind of property management. Yeah, property manager, I guess that would be his title. So that's what we're all I'm trying to put in place this year is to really streamline those roles. Kind of it's right now, it's kind of a mishmash of everyone's doing a little bit of everything, right? But streamlining those and having people trained really to do that.
So I'd be curious because this is a big overhaul. All right, we've done this, we've experienced it. It's not easy. Like when you decide to bring on to buy back your time ultimately, but also to hire people better than you to run the things that you don't want to run. And it's an extremely difficult overhaul that challenges you as the business owner. So I'd be more interested in hearing what caused you to take this step to go and scale the business in this direction. Because you definitely could have continued to do what you were doing, be wildly successful, manage everything yourself. I mean, we see it all the time, but you're making an intentional effort to scale your business by growing people by your side. So I'm interested in what caused you to take this step.
Well, I think our most valuable asset, you know, is time, right? Like money is great. But after a certain amount, like when you meet all your basic needs, and really it's how much time do you want, right? How much of your time do you want to buy back, right? And so that's what I'm focusing on. Like I said, I have my milestone birthday coming up in 3 years. And by then I want my team fully, even if I have, again, if my company allows me to have 4, 5, 6 offices by then, right? Like where I can manage those remotely, not take as much of my time and do other things that I'm more interested in, spending time with my family.
I'm curious on your international employees, because I hear a lot of pushback on this, especially in the business owner space and the entrepreneur space. Our support team is based in the Philippines and they are machines.
Rock stars.
Like, I love Angel and Steph. Hi, shout out. Thank you so much for doing what you do. They are incredible, but I would be curious what your experience has been translating what you do in the insurance space and communicating that to somebody who's not based in the United States.
Well, I mean, sometimes we hire young people, right? We hire young people right out of high school or college. And like, you have to even tell them, this is how a checking account works. I mean, I've hired people like that, right? Like where you have to start from day one. Obviously, the employees that I'm hiring from the Philippines, that's where I hired too. They have a little bit more life experience, but it's again, hey, I mean, we start with, this is an introduction to insurance. So we have a video that's just like, you know, a generic, this is an intro to insurance, that they understand that, but they're not really working so much on the insurance side per se, because they can't get into our systems, right? And so it's more, I mean, they have experience with HR. They have experience with doing videos and social media. So, yeah.
Where did you go to find great talent?
It's just job postings, just like we have online jobs PH. And I always laugh at this. The first job ad I put, I had, I'm not exaggerating, 600 applicants for that job. And so I was telling a friend, I'm like, how do I even like filter 600 applicants? And so basically I initially hired like the first person I liked and said, will you just filter all of these applications for me? So I basically hired that person as a project manager to start filtering. So yeah.
Job duty right away. I love it. Are you tired of hiring new producers only to find out that your sales numbers aren't improving? It's a common problem in the insurance industry, but the solution isn't always to keep hiring new people. Instead, it's time to invest in a comprehensive training program that can transform your existing team into top performing producers. Our insurance training program is designed to help your team achieve measurable sales success. We understand the unique challenges of the insurance industry and have developed a training program that addresses those challenges head on. Our program covers everything from prospecting and lead generation to closing deals and retaining clients. There's so much more to the program. So if you're interested in joining the program that's helped over 10,000 insurance agents nationwide, visit www.weaversa.com or send me a text directly at 816-727-7610 with any questions to find out more. So do you currently have any remote workers besides like the VAs that are in the Philippines, or are you mainly in office?
No, I do have some remote employees. They work part-time. Well, actually, I have one full-time that's remote completely, and then the other ones come in like once or twice a week.
Okay, so I'd like to talk about, just for a few minutes, but what have you learned by managing remote? Because this is pushback we get a lot, and this was a hurdle we had to overcome with our how we lead, how we manage a remote environment, those individuals that you're not seeing physically every single day. So what are some things that you have done to help establish that buy-in, that vision, that culture, just the basics of helping manage remote employees and getting them bought into to the agency vision?
We do morning huddles every morning and a team meeting. And so those can be all done remotely. We do in those morning huddles, like I have one of the VAs make videos. You know, you have to add culture, you have to add fun, right? So like every week someone picks a song and then we have to guess who that person is. And they'll be silly, like, what's your favorite Christmas song? So all of like Christmas every day. We had like, who picked this favorite Christmas song? We also had like, what's your, you know, MMA song? Like, what song do you walk into the
Walkout song, baby. Let's go.
We just did the walkout song.
With our team.
And then whoever actually, when it was their song, they had to dance. That was the part that they were like, oh my God, no. But yeah, okay, I love it. I'm in. Keep going.
That's exactly what we do. We also celebrate, you know, like celebrations, like anniversaries and birthdays. And sometimes they have to be done remotely where we're basically eating lunch together on screen like this, right? We've had baby showers on screen like this, and we'll play baby shower games, you know, together. So yeah, I mean, it's, you got to make work fun.
Amen.
Where is my tiny tambourine? It is around here somewhere. Oh, I can see it right now. Dang it, I didn't bring it on. I completely agree. Because if not, then it becomes a job, and nobody's signing up for a job. They're signing up for growth and opportunity, and you're going to spend a lot of time with these people. Like, let's make it fun. Like, why do they have to be mutually exclusive? And success and fun go together.
And fun is so attracting. Like, it's attractive to new employees. Yeah. It's attractive to customers. Like, people love to work with people that have fun doing what they do for a living, period.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I want to go back to the, you said the first year was struggle and the second year was success. What was the difference between year one and year two?
I think some of it is the team that gets you there doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be the team that gets you to the next level, right? So definitely some team turnover. And I used to kind of joke, like, some of these agency owners that couldn't keep their teams, and there are some pretty big agents, I'm like, it must be so hard to work for them. Their culture must not be that good. But it's not necessarily that. It's sometimes your agency outgrows people. All right. Just like sometimes in some agencies, the team members outgrow that agency. Right. And so it doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means you're going in different directions. You know, even in like relationships, like I have friends who are both amazing people, but they weren't right for each other and going different directions. And so they get a divorce, right? Like, it doesn't mean either one of them were horrible or did anything bad. It's just, we're not rowing the boat together. And that's sometimes what happens in agencies. So we've had some team turnover. Hiring has been definitely tough these last 2 years. I'm sure like all of your agency owners are relating to that. And then again, you know, you give people leadership roles and they have to learn to make their leadership mistakes just like I did. I've made a lot of them. I continue to make a lot of them.
So when you say you outgrow each other, and I completely understand that, but I want to like drill that down a little bit. If somebody's listening and they're thinking, oh, yeah, I have somebody that I believe agency is outgrowing this person. What did that feel like to you? What was your cue of like, it's time to let this person go?
You know, people are always resistant to change. I mean, I am too. Like, who's like, yep. I love change all the time, right? Like, you like yep. your little safe, comfortable spot. And so everyone's going to be resistant. But then there's also people that are like, I can't move forward. Like, I'm not happy with this change. I can't do this. And then it sometimes becomes a little toxic, right? Mm-hmm. In the agency. And they kind of get where like, this is not the, they know it too, right? Mm-hmm. That it's not the right place for them. And so sometimes it's just having those hard conversations and you part ways without anyone being mad at each other, right? And if you can, you help, I call it rehoming them. Right? Yeah. Yeah, rehoming them, right? And hopefully that works out for them too.
Which people outside the insurance industry may not know what rehoming means, but everybody that's in the industry, I feel like this is an insurance thing. Like, we're just going to rehome you. We're not going to fire you. We're just going to find a better opportunity that better aligns for you.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
I think it's great.
If you already have your licensing and you really do have to go to a place that fits where you want to grow. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like repotting a plant. Like, it's time for a new pot, baby. Let's move it on.
Yep.
I'm curious because I struggled with this a lot when we were growing and we were hiring a lot of different positions of things that I was doing. What were the first few things that you delegated off of your plate to step into that CEO role?
Definitely hiring, reporting, some of the training, social media, my accounting. At the end of the day, most of us entrepreneurs are a little bit of control freaks. Let's just be real. Let's just be
a little bit. I am a full blown, full speed control grip.
I got this control monster that just comes up on me every now and then. It's like, better watch out.
Okay, I love that you said that. I love that you made us sound so nice and dainty. A little bit of control freak. Okay.
And we also like things done our way, right? So I share this story that one time I asked my husband, like, something was broken in our house. And I said, hey, babe, you know, can you take care of it? Like, hire a plumber, get it done. And so the way that I would do that, if this was my task, I would look on Yelp, look on Google, find the top three reviewed, you know, plumbers, call all of them, get estimates for all three, and then pick the best price and the person that I felt was going to do the best job. What does my husband do? He hires the first person on the list, and it's literally done that day, right? And he probably paid like $100 to $200 more for that job than what he could have gotten it for, right? And I remember being so annoyed, like, you didn't do it right. Like, you paid $100 or $200 more. You didn't like research it and didn't do it. And I was complaining about him to one of my friends. And my friend said, he got it done. It was done that day. Like, the way you would have done it would have taken like probably a week, you know, or 3 or 4 days. He got it done. It's not like $100 or $200 is going to take food off your table. Like, he got it done, right? And so what I learned from that experience is I consider that, like, my husband got like a, you know, a B. How I would have done it is an A, you know, A job. He got rated a B. And sometimes you have to be okay with a B, even though a B is an Asian F. Like, sometimes you have to be okay with that.
That is the best quote of the whole podcast. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Done is better than perfect.
Yeah.
Right?
80% done by somebody else is better than 100% done by you. Oh, yes.
Shit.
But the B is an Asian F is forever. Okay. That's our motto in our house.
That's the quote on the bus from here on out, man.
Oh, oh my God. I completely relate to this, because what we have started to do, not in our relationship, because Michael and I are very different, and we just have to communicate what done looks like. Like, what does done look like to you? But I think even with our team is communicating the intention. Like, this is the outcome that I want, and being okay with however they get from point A to point Z. Like, if it's not our way, it might be better, which is a hard, mm-hmm. hard pill to swallow of, oh, yeah. They actually might do this better than I have been doing it, because it's a fresh perspective. But I love that you bring that up. I love that you said the quote of the buzz, forever and ever,
but
moving
that's,
forward.
But you know, when talking about that, it's been a huge game changer for us, and difficult definitely for me. I'm probably might even be more of a control freak than you are, but I used to, like, especially early on in my career, I wanted things done a certain way. We have a process. Everybody does them the same way. Now, with the growth that we've had as business owners and entrepreneurs, it's like, I don't want a team that I have to manage all the time. I want a self-managing team. And this is what done it looks like. How you get there, like, done is done.
Well, and I think where it gets tricky is because in the insurance space, especially with your conversations
matter.
Have yes. to be consistent. Yep. There has to be processes.
Yes.
There are certain processes that you cannot deviate off the plan. But there's a lot of things in the insurance space, like hiring, where you can make that whatever you want to. You can set up team meetings however you want to. You can set up training however
you want
to.
I thought it was funny when you asked her very first thing she delegated was hiring. That was one of the first things we delegated as well to our COO.
Oh my gosh. It's like a heavy
hiring,
eye roll.
Recruiting. Like, obviously, email. We delegated that out to our EA, but hiring was the first thing for our CEO.
It's like, overwhelming.
Take this over.
You get, like, just like you said, the 600 applications, and you're like, okay, if I was young and single and this was like my Tinder app and I was swiping, I would be so excited. I am old and married now, running a business, and I don't need these many options, okay?
You ain't old. You just married, all right?
Well, it's not even just that, but like, I'm just like, I like everybody. Yes, you want a job, you know, you just seem so great versus like the person that I have doing it is much harsher than I would be in a good way.
Yep.
I think that's the role of the integrator too. If you are a visionary, you're a dreamer, you're looking for opportunities, you're coming up with ideas. An integrator really is the get shit done kind of person. They're the ones who take your, hey, I'm in the car and I sent 33 voice memos and I'm thinking about this. And they take that information. They go, okay, how do I deliver this in a way that the whole team understands?
Definitely. The other thing I've really had to work on is as much as I'm delegating, I've realized recently, I'm like, oh, I'm delegating so much. Why am I still so overwhelmed? And I realized I'm still the bottleneck. And what I mean by that is everyone's doing their job, but they're still checking in with me. They're still checking in. Is this okay? Is this, you know, what do you think of this? And I keep telling them, you don't need to check in with me. Like, you already, that's fine. You knew the answer. Like, why are you checking in? And again, my husband pointed this out to me because we had a water loss in one of our rentals and he's taking care of that, you know, dealing with the contractors and everything. And he was asking me, he's like, you know, what do you think we should do for the paint and the flooring? Like, pick that. And I'm like, I don't care, babe. You pick it. And he's like, hun, you say that you don't care, but later on, you're going to be like, why did you pick this ugly ass shit, right? Like, why did you pick this? And I totally do that. I do that with obviously him. I do that with my team. And even if I'm not saying it, it's like in my face. Like I make this like, you know, kind of like, ooh, why did you do that? Like face, right? And so I have had to tell my team that I'm, you know, as great as I am, I'm not perfect. And so I may sometimes get upset. Like, it might not be how I did it, just that's my first reaction, right? Or I may make a face, or I might not be happy, but if I overreacted, after I've calmed down, I will definitely come back to you and apologize. But also, like, I understand, like, I got to let some of that go. I was telling a friend, I was scared to go to this rental house and be like, oh, it's going to be super ugly. But we just went and checked it out this weekend and he did a good job. I gave my husband an A-.
There we go.
She's like, there's no way in hell I'm giving him an A ever. So A- is as good as we're going to.
Hey, that's better than that B, baby.
Yuli, I feel so seen when you say that because I am the exact same way. I will run that same track of, I don't care, do what you want. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, this is what I would do. This is how I would do it. This is what I would pick. I hope they pick the same thing. So I've had to work on, oh, I even got a thumbs up in their recording. Like, yeah, okay, I see it. I've had to work on self-awareness of knowing that how they do it is going to be different than how I do it. And also psychological safety. There's nothing that you're going to do that is that extreme that I'm going to fire you over one little thing like that. Like if you put something out or if there's something on the website or whatever that looks like, it's okay. So setting that up. But hearing you say that, especially you let him pick tile and paint colors. I mean, Michael Weaver, I love you, but there is no way in hell I would let that go. I am too. I love decorating a house though. So Yuli, thank you for sharing that. I feel seen.
I want to circle back to the agencies before we wrap this up. Are you running both agencies as one agency or are you running them as two like separate offices?
I think it's more efficient. Maybe I'm wrong. And you're going to have other agency owners that say that they want to run them as two separate. I just think it's more efficient if you can run them as one. You have one hiring person. You have, you know, the same people doing the service for both agencies. You don't have to have as many service people. If you have sales doing, you know, sales for both agency, again, you don't have to have as many sales people.
That makes a lot of sense.
If there was one piece of advice you would give somebody considering going from one agency to two agencies, what would be the one piece of advice you would give them?
I'd say learn to let go of control a little bit. You can't do it all and learn to delegate.
So good.
Let go of control, baby. And if y'all didn't know this, Yuli wrote an amazing book called The Culture of Agency. And so I want you to go check it out right now, cultureofagency.com. All right. But it's awesome. I know that she's currently revising it right now, but Yuli, this has been amazing. This has been awesome. I just want to say I appreciate your openness and vulnerability to talk about some things that you're currently going through as a business owner. That means a lot. So thank you so much for coming on and your time today.
I would love to know if you're listening, what was your biggest takeaway from this conversation with Yuli? Text us 816-727-7610. There was a lot of nuggets. I took a full page of notes, but I would love to know your biggest takeaway.
I feel like you're going to get all these texts that say, Yuli's kind of a control freak. And they're going to be like, she got an A minus for today's podcast. Those are my texts.
Absolutely not. And if you do send that, I will screenshot it and I'm sending it your way, Yuli. But I don't think, I actually think that, at least for me, hearing you say that, it really resonated with me as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, navigating the struggles and the success of what it looks like to run a modern day business. You were really transparent and you were really honest. And that's really what the world, especially in our industry, needs. It's like, let's pull back the curtain. Let's talk about what we're going through. Yeah, we're control freaks. Let's just put it up. Name it to tame it. Let's put it out there. That's what we got going on. And then we can do something with it. So no, I don't think you're going to get an A minus. Absolutely not. A plus.
This is an A plus episode A++. All day long.
That's the type of student I was, okay? So I expect an A+. Listeners, please say, text Courtney and Michael and say Yuli was A+, okay?
Oh, shit. I love it. It's been awesome. So for those of you that are listening, thank you so much for your support as always. We truly do appreciate you. We appreciate your support. I haven't asked this in a long time, so I'm going to go ahead and ask it. This was an A+ episode, so if you haven't already, give us a 5-star review. We're going for over 100. We would love your help with that. Other than that, as always, time is the most valuable and important asset that we all have. We truly do appreciate you spending time with us today on The Buzz. Go out and make it great. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Insurance Buzz. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. If you want to take your insurance agency to the next level and join our community, simply check out Weaver Sales Academy at www.weaversa.com. Again, that's www.weaversa.com, or visit the show notes on our new and current programs we have available exclusively for you. As always, time is the most valuable and important asset that we all have, and I appreciate you spending it with me. See you on the next episode.